Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about the various roles of Lady Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, and specifically her role as a mother. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are here talking about the various different roles and the lessons that we can learn from Lady Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha. On the show today, we're going to be talking about her role as a mother. In order to talk a little bit about the subject, we decided to invite Sheikh Ruhullah Rouhani. We invite him and start. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Rouhani, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse
Talk Show. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, again, once again, thank you for joining us on the talk show. We had talked about Lady Fatimatu Zahra, salamullah alayha, on a previous talk show about her role as a daughter. We wanted to continue the discussion but take a different aspect of Her Eminence's life, and that is her role as a mother. So if you could, in the name of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, the role of Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is the mother of Hassanain, Hassan wal Hussein, mother of Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha, and Umm Kulthum. And of course, this role of Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is again very, very much significant. And there are lots of great lessons that we can take from this mother, which is Ummul A'imma, mother of the 11 imams, infallible imams. Here, Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, is a connection, a kind of connection between the prophethood and imamate. You know, this role is really significant.
Right, of course.
And because all the children of this lady, salamullah alayha, all 11 children of this lady, all of them are the infallible imams. And so what kind of mother she should be,
right,
that she deserves this position, this status, to be mother of these imams, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Yeah, when it comes to Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, as a mother, if you know what kind of mother someone is, look at the children.
Right, mashallah.
You know, look at the children of that mother. Look at Imam al-Hassan. Look at Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salatu wassalam. Look at Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha. Each one of these personalities and figures in the history, you know, each one of them are like role models.
Right, these beautiful role models.
Of course. For example, in Imam al-Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salatu wassalam, what we see is most, what we can say, predominant, or let's say, very much, let's say, bright and enlightened, we can say, is the generosity.
Right.
Of Imam al-Hassan, because he is called al-Kareem, Kareem Ahl al-Bayt, alayhi salatu wassalam. The question is that where does this karama come from? It comes from Lady Zahra, salamullahi alayha. As in one example, let me mention this story that is narrated by Imam al-Hassan al-Mushtaba, alayhi salatu wassalam, saying that one night I was awake listening to my mother. My mother was praying and making dua.
Yes.
Imam Hassan said that I listened to my mother a lot throughout the night. And finally, I asked my mother that, oh, mother, why didn't you ask anything for yourself from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Right.
All the prayers, all the du'as that I listened to you were about the others.
Other people.
You asked, many things from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for neighbors, for the Ummah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the others. But nothing from you yourself. Why? This was a question that Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Hassan asked her, his mother. Then Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, peace be upon her, said that my son, awwal jar thumma dar.
Jar meaning the neighbor.
Of course, means that you have to prefer, the preference, let's first should go to the jar.
The neighbor, the people around you, other people.
Then dar. Again here, Lady Zahra salamullah alayha says that even dar, not herself.
The house.
You see? So this karama, this generosity comes from Lady Zahra salamullah alayha. to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam, who was Kareem Ahl al-Bayt.
Right.
It is said that three times
he gave
Imam Hassan
al-Bayt
needed the whole, let's say, sustenance and properties for the way of Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala.
It's
really amazing.
Yeah. And also, for example, in Surah Al-Insan, chapter Al-Insan, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. I want to shed light on this term, asir. You know who is asir?
Sure,
asir in Islam is not a Muslim.
Right, is a captive.
A Muslim cannot be asir, cannot be a captive. Asir is always non-Muslims.
Yes, it's
you know,
those
who arrested, for example, in the battlefield. They are the warriors of enemies. They are arrested, you know, in the battlefield.
Yes, yeah.
Look, Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, according to this ayah, وَيَطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ three times, three days when they were fasting, because maybe the audience know this story that that Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, they were fasting for three days.
Right.
And each of these days, one day a miskeen came, and the other day, for example,
the yatim came.
Yatim came, an orphan. Yeah. And the other day, asir came. Asir in the last days, yatiman wa asira. Asira is the last one.
Right.
In the last night, non-Muslims came.
Right.
You know, non-Muslims.
And they fed the non-Muslims.
Yeah, yeah. They fed the non-Muslims while they were thirsty, they were hungry because they were fasting. So this kind of generosity that we see from Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, who fed a non-Muslim, and the third day while she was herself, she was hungry and thirsty, but did not care about her own thirst, her own hunger, and fed a non-Muslim asir in that night. So
these, just to add, these are such beautiful role models for the present day, for humanity. You know, for example, we see this kind of genocide against the Palestinians, and we see the overall oppression all across the world, right?
And these homeless people that now have
homeless
people, no one cares about them. See?
Nobody cares about them, yeah.
So look, Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, suppose that this non-Muslim was a homeless.
Yeah.
Suppose. At that time, we do not have homeless in Islamic societies, because we have zakat, we have charities, lots of things that provide them with at least the thing that sustenance that they need, you know? That's why we do not have, in Muslim societies, we don't have homeless people. And also it's the duty of Islamic government to provide them whatever they need. This kind of generosity that we see from Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha to non-Muslims.
Yes.
This is a lesson.
It's really amazing.
This is a lesson that we should take from Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha. That whenever someone who is faqir, who is needy, who is poor, when he comes to you, you shouldn't ask about her nationality, identity, religion, whatever he is,
citizenship,
whatever
status.
She is, whatever he is, of course you have to provide him, even if you yourself are hungry, if you yourself are thirsty, if you yourself are in dire need of that thing, because the whole day you fast.
Yeah.
You know, now you're really thirsty and hungry. But Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, this ayah of the Holy Quran, it is the ayah of the Holy Quran, that Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha gave that food to this non-Muslim.
Right.
Now the question is that nowadays, for example, look what is happening around us.
Right, right.
In our let's say, in this modern world.
The only solution is to take these people and these individuals as role models.
It is said that there are some, the superpowers, they use more than 80% of the whole world's properties.
Sure, yeah.
And wealth.
Yeah.
Millions, maybe billions of people in Africa and Asia, they're poor, no one cares.
Yeah.
See? So this lesson, yes.
It reminds me of a tradition from Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he says that the rizq or the sustenance of the poor has been put in the pockets of the rich, right?
Yeah.
And so the wazifa and the responsibility and the obligation of the rich is to give to the poor, you know? And this is as what you just said, right?
Of
as
course,
we see in the world today, that not only are they taking this wealth, but they're stealing the wealth from these people, rather than giving it back to society and giving it back to the people and creating this, you know, this balanced state of world affairs. But no.
Yes, of course. And one of the other aspects of the Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha as a mother that can be talked about is this, that if we look at the other children of Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha, for example, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. So the generosity in the life of Imam Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam to mention, let me just, for a respected audience, I mentioned this one riwayah for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. It is said that on the day that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi alafu al-tahiyyati wasalam was trying to bury the body of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, in that day, the people, the Taif at Bani Asad, because Bani Asad came and tried to bury Abu Abdullah Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is said that they saw some signs, some like crashes on the back of Imam Al-Hussein Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when they gathered the body of Abu Abdullah.
Right.
And then they asked Imam Al-Sajjad, that what are these marks or crashes that we see in the body of Abdullah? Because they are old, they are not new, they are not for so these
scars.
Days of Ashura day or Karbala. It didn't happen in Karbala because they were really, we can say, old kind
of crashes.
Yeah,
there were scars.
Yeah, of course. And then Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam said that my father, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, in the whole his life, every night, he took some pieces of, let's say, food, dates, or milks, this sort of things,
bread,
during the night, secretly. No one saw my father in these nights. But I know that my father was always carrying these things to the poor, to the needy. In a way that now you see these signs
these on the body of my scars father. On his back.
Yeah, scars on the body of Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam. Look, it was the lifestyle of Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam. This was the generosity that we see from Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam, that during the nights, while people are sleeping, this nights was the nights that Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam was caring about the orphans, the widows, or the, let's say, poor and needy people in the city. While governments were there, and so-called caliphs were there.
But Baitul Mal was there.
Baitul Mal was there.
But
it was Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam who did such. So look, these kind of lessons they took from their great mother. It was Lady Zahra salamullah alayha who trained, who brought up Abu Abdullah and al-Hasan alayhi salatu wasalam this way.
Yes.
Yeah? And when it comes to sacrifice, we see in Abu Abdullah and also Lady Zainab salamullah alayha, or patience that we see in Zainab salamullah alayha.
Yes.
The level of patience that we see in the life of this lady, which is again a role model.
Sure.
Sometimes we can say that even patience itself cannot tolerate Zainab. Because of that great patience, the level of patience that we see in the life of Lady Zainab salamullah alayha, or sincerity, ikhlas, that we see in the life of Abu Abdullah and the life of Lady Zainab salamullah alayha. Where do these kind of characteristics
and qualities
come from? They are all from mother,
right?
You know, they are all from Lady Zahra salamullah alayha.
Right.
To better understand, sometimes in mantiq we see that in logic they say that if you sometimes want to better understand something, you have to look at the opposite of that. You know, tu'araful ashya bi azdadiha. Look, for example, let's here have a look at the life account of, for example, mother of Muawiyah, Hind. You know, Hind orders, for example, Wahshi.
Complete azdadiha.
Hind ordered Wahshi, her servant, to kill Hamza. First to kill Prophet, if you cannot kill Prophet, kill Hamza. And we know that what did this servant do with the body of the Hamza, the Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salatu wasalam?
Well, he cut open the body and took the liver out.
Yeah, of course. I didn't want to mention that because it is really brutal. And then from this mother, the people like Muawiyah and Yazid come. Yazid, from such a mother, we see Yazid. Because Yazid was the grandson of this mother. What he did with the bodies of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn al-Sa'at al-Sa'at, you know, with the bodies of Shuhada, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, it was from the mother.
Right, that these characteristics and these things moved on.
Everything happened in Karbala, remind everyone remind Battle of Uhud.
Mm.
You see?
Yes.
So the role of mother is really significant.
Of course.
Really important. Mm. If you are like a Hind, then of course your children will be like Yazid.
Mm.
But if you are like Khadija salamullah alayha and Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, your children would be like Hassan and Hussein and Zainab salamullah alayha. So that's why our sisters, our brothers, and particularly our Muslim sisters, the mothers, they should be very much careful. They should be very much careful about their behavior. How do they treat? How do they bring up their children?
You know, Sheikh, I want to kind of add another aspect here. That is that, so it takes, of course, it takes a lot of effort on behalf of a mother in order to raise children in this proper Islamic manner, right? But this idea that it takes a lot of time as well, you know, sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to not put forth time. Again, because of this very westernized lifestyle, this Western culture, this fast-paced, you know, everything is social media, everything is TV and news and these kind of things. It's very easy to not take time out for children. It's very easy to not pay full attention to the children. If you can talk about the importance of not only putting forth an effort, right, but to really give as much time as you can to these children who are the future generations.
Yes, unfortunately, the modern lifestyle itself is problematic.
Sure.
You know, because it is based on certain kind of principles and values that are unfortunately opposed to the divine values.
Right, exactly.
For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided the works for Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, as we can say, domestic kind of works that should be done by Lady Zahra inside the house, and the other things that should be done by Amir al-Mu'minin outside. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them explicitly that Lady Zahra, your responsibility, your duty is to what? To take care of the children, take care of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam,
and do the house. Run the household.
Yeah,
it's really a manager.
This is really significant.
And it's not easy, I think.
Yeah,
a lot
of
people think it's...
Because the children that are bringing up in this kind of environment and house, they will play the significant role in the future of the society.
It's a big, it's a huge
role.
It's
a big responsibility. It's a very huge responsibility that should be fulfilled by mothers. That's why the Holy Prophet says such. So because nowadays in the modern time, our sisters might say that, okay, we cannot only stay inside and run the
house.
The point is that, as you rightly mentioned, when it comes to the time that your children need to be with them,
right,
particularly mothers, if mothers, as we talked before, if mothers cannot express love and muhabba and compassion and mercy to their children, they must be sure in the future they will never receive any kind of mercy and rahmah or, let's say, kindness from their children. Because the children cannot receive, cannot realize, cannot learn it.
Right.
If
your
children cannot learn that, how should they treat and behave, let's say, kindly, with kindness, with compassion with the others, if they cannot learn from mother, from father, from the family members, how can they treat and behave kindly the others?
Right.
Including parents. That's why they do not care about their parents when they become old.
Unfortunately. Nursing home is one of the biggest businesses.
Now, if you go and interview these fathers and mothers who are living in these nursing homes, what would they tell you?
Yeah.
The time that they need their children, the time that they need their children to come to them and treat them like... Because we see that fathers and mothers in their old age, they become again like
children,
like babies.
They need lots of care,
you know. So anyhow, unfortunately, we have nowadays this modern lifestyle, at least in those times, for example, when the babies are like 1 year, 2 years old, 3 years old, these times, they need a lot their mothers. Mothers should be as much as possible with them.
And I would add, even in later years, right? So, for example,
of course,
it's almost, and I know it's difficult because, you know, 18, 19 years, you have to be involved in the child's life. And really, I think a parent and a mother really needs to be involved, needs to be careful, and of course is balanced, right? We're not saying to become a dictator or something that, or a tyrant. No, but this love and compassion and this friendliness and this closeness and this teaching of certain attributes, as you said, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, it's a saying, you know, either the child finds friendship and compassion at home from his family members, or they find friendship and compassion outside of the home. And outside of the home, you don't who it is who's going to take advantage of them. So this idea that, you know, these children and giving them time and putting forth effort.
Yeah, it is not only a religious order. Sometimes people might say that, okay, it's like, as you said, like kind of dictatorship that they tell us that you have to be like, no. It is because of this that man naturally needs this sociability, this social life, you know?
Yes.
Man naturally is a kind of, what we can say,
social being. Yeah,
social being, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why they always need the society. They always need the community. They always need the people to care about them, you know? Particularly the children.
Right.
They are very much in need of caring. The more they receive care from grandfather, grandmother, parents, brothers, sisters, the more they are sound.
Yeah, wholesome.
And sane. And let's say, what we can say, healthy in terms psychologically and bodily, you know?
Right.
Because in the future, they will care about the other people, the same way that they received in their childhood. Mm. But if there is individualism and they just leave alone,
care about themselves,
about themselves, they would be always depressed in the future.
Sure.
Because
they
cannot expect anyone to care about them, and he himself does not care about anyone else.
Right.
So in that kind of environment, can you enjoy of such a life?
No.
Because that's why Islam says that every day you have to go to the congregational prayers.
Yeah, go to the masjid.
You take your children. Yeah. To the mosque, they should see the others. You should see the others. You should ask about each other. What do you need? What help I can, for example, provide you with, for example, today? There are some people, they are in need of help. So you have to do, you have to go there. You have to be with community, with society. That's why a good way for Muslim communities in the modern world is that they should have communities.
Yes, of course.
At least on Sundays and Saturdays, they should go there. They should take the hands of the children, bring their... they should help each other, they should be with each other. This way the children will be more, let's say, like sound and healthy children in the future. And they would be better children, absolutely. If you do not care about your children, if you just leave them alone, or give them to the others, and then of course in the future you cannot expect anything from those children.
I'd like to add one more thing here. And that's this idea that sometimes parents, again, because of this, you know, lifestyle and this culture, Western lifestyle, Western culture, right? What happens sometimes is that the parents become tired, they become exhausted. And so then what do? They either put the child in front of the television for 2-3 hours, or they hand the child a cell phone. Right, sometimes with internet access, sometimes without internet access. But I mean, I have my personal opinion on it, but I'd like to ask you before I say anything. But if you could talk about the harms of this, children at this young age, even through their teens, right? They need the physical, verbal communication and interaction of their parents at these stages, you know? And just merely handing them a cell phone or putting them in front of video games for a few hours, this is actually harmful to their wholesome being.
Yeah. To solve this problem, you know, first of all, Islam says that it is the duties of the fathers to provide sustenance for the family.
Right.
Even in modern life, if it is possible that, for example, if father work outside, if he can provide the sustenance, then there's no need for women to work.
So that they can pay more attention and time and effort to the children.
Or at least if the women, for the ladies, it is possible to find out some kind of jobs that they can do from the home. Yeah, no? In that way, they would care more about their children. As you rightly mentioned, because if both men and women, if both of them are working outside and then during the night, both of them are tired.
Right.
Yeah, extremely tired, and they cannot tolerate each other. They
can let alone
the children. Yeah. So, of course, in that kind of environment, the children will will be in a very bad situation, we can say, because the future of the children is really dangerous.
Right, right.
That is why I think it is better for the, particularly for the mothers, that they either try to convince him herself. Yeah, sometimes, for example, because we follow this modern lifestyle, we try to have as much as we could, like, I don't know, cars, beautiful house, luxury life.
Since materialism, consumerism.
Since we focus a lot to these material kind of values, then we spend lots of times working.
To get money to buy
those
things.
Yeah, to get money. If change your mindset, if it is possible, change your mindset. Right. Leave, not that luxury life, a bit simple life.
Sure.
But if you train, if you bring up the best children in that kind of environment, be sure that in that life you will enjoy more.
Yes, of
course. Compared to those people who are just looking for the luxury life.
The luxury lifestyle.
And enjoyment is more here.
Yeah.
Pleasures will be more here with your children.
Yeah.
And then in the future, these children will care you, will care about you, you know. Then you would enjoy better. You enjoy more of your own life. That's why I think, and also it's better not to leave the grandmothers and grandfathers in the nursing house.
Yeah, no, that's really sad because they see some of those situations.
Grandmothers and grandfathers, sometimes they take care of your children maybe more than you.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. This is what we can focus on in our life.
Right.
The modern life. Yes.
Inshallah.
There are many solutions, but I think one of the crucial solution is this: that sometimes we should try to change our mindset.
Sure.
You know, just all 24 hours going and seeking the money and let's say a luxury life. We will destroy our life and also our children's life. So that's why if sometimes we change our mindset, saying that no, I will have inshallah a bit simple life, but with good children.
Yeah,
and that would be more better for us, for all ourselves and also for our children, for future generation, because these children will learn these things from us.
Of course,
and they will have also the same life, and they will take care of their own children. You know, they will have best children in the future. So all the blessings and rewards of this generation by generation will come to you.
For some sacrifices.
Of course.
Sheikh, I'll add this. I don't, you know, you can comment if you like. You don't need to. But this idea that on one hand, you do have people who, for example, because they want a more luxurious lifestyle, not a better lifestyle, a more luxurious lifestyle, on one hand, but a lot of these people are also stuck in a system which forces them to continuously try to make ends meet. You know, I know there's a lot of families in Europe, in the Americas, you know, where the system is made where they are forced to go out and work. And I just wanted to say that there's fundamental problems with these systems, and you know, it's because they're non-Islamic systems. You know, Islam does not envision this rat race for humanity, right? Islam envisions a totally different utopian society where there's a balance between work and prayers and family and life, you know. And really, again, as we have said in most of our talk shows, that Islam is the only solution to bring balance to this world, inshallah. I'll leave it to you for any closing remarks on mothers and Lady Fatima Zahra.
Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, again, if we come back to the life of this lady as a mother, it is narrated that sometimes it's really beautiful that look how much the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Amirul Mu'mineen, and Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha was what we can say tolerant in regards with the children. As you said that nowadays, for example, sometimes parents cannot tolerate their children.
Right.
It is said that sometimes in one hadith is there that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on the pulpit, was presenting a speech to the companions. And it is said that Imam Hassan Alayhi Wasallam entered the mosque with a red clothing. And he was coming towards the Prophet, like what we can say, like
crawling.
And then the Prophet came down from the pulpit and took Imam al-Hasan alayhi salatu wasalam. Look, even the Prophet left the member, left the companions.
right,
to care this baby, child, this,
yeah,
this child.
This baby. Mm.
So look, this was the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated a child.
Mm.
And it is said that about Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam was in the mosque when the Prophet was reciting some ayat of the Holy Quran for the companions. Then Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salatu wasalam went to his mother, Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, in the house, inside the house, starting reciting the ayat. The same ayat that the Prophet was reciting in the mosque.
The mosque.
Imam Hassan was like 5 or 6 years old, when 7 years old when the Prophet died.
Right.
And then, so of course, he was like 4 or 5 years old. Look, the way that Zahra salamullah alayha and Amir al-Mu'minin treated Imam Hassan is really significant.
Right.
That Zahra listened to the ayat. Though Lady Zahra knew the ayat.
Of course, yeah.
And then when Amir al-Mu'minin came to the house again, asked, where is Hassan? What did he tell you?
Yeah.
Bring Hassan to recite for us the ayat again.
Mm. What did you learn in the mosque?
Imam Ali did not say that, okay, I'm tired,
I cannot tolerate.
Yeah. Let Hassan go and it's repetition of the ayat things. No. Together, Lady Zahra salamullah alayhi with Amir al-Mu'minin sit. Zahra salamullah alayhi started saying that, yeah, today Hassan came and recite for me the ayat. Do you want to listen? Amir al-Mu'minin said, yes, of course. Let's sit together and listen to Hassan alayhi salam. Then Imam Hassan alayhi salam started reciting again the surah for both while Amir al-Mu'minin was in the masjid.
Right.
And he listened to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he knew the ayat already.
Right.
But again, sit together with Lady Zahra sallallahu alayhi and listen to the whole ayat from Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And sometimes it is said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam put this Hassan and Hussein on his shoulders.
Right.
This is hadith from Umar ibn Khattab, said that once Umar ibn Khattab told the second caliph, told the Prophet that what a good markab you are for these two child. For markab we can say...
Yeah, this ride or this...
Yeah, of course, yeah. Then the Prophet said, yes, they are the best riders.
Don't say I'm the best markab.
Say
that they're the best riders.
Yeah. And then it is said that sometimes the Holy Prophet ﷺ was carrying these two babies on his, let's say, shoulders, sometimes on his hogs, in the streets and talking with the people while he was holding these two sons. So these are the ways that we see Lady Zahra, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the Holy Prophet treated the children as father or as a mother. And that is why we see they are the best people in the history.
Yes.
That is why Hassan and Hussein and Lady Zainab, they are the best role models for the humanity.
Because of the mother.
Because of the great mother they had, yes.
Jazakallah, thank you so much, Sheikh Rouhani, for taking time out and talking about these very important aspects of Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us. We were talking about the role of Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, as a mother, and really the great importance of mothers in Islam and in shaping the future. That's all for now. Until another talk show, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.